Who gets the money for Sue the Tyrannosaurus Rex? Of course, Sue is presently living in the Field Museum. If you have not been to Chicago to see the Field Museum and Sue, it's worth a trip in itself. With King Tut coming to Chicago next year, take them both in. You know, the best dinosaur, the most well-preserved, most complete T-Rex ever found. And, of course, our good friend King Tut. The Field Museum bought her at an auction in 1997. It was an auction held by Sotheby's. They thought it would bring $1 million. They end up paying $8.4 million, which, of course, is scandalized the paleontological field, because everybody, if these fossils are bid up in high prices, universities won't be able to afford them. Oh, you know, it's kind of crazy. But anyway, if you think paying $8.4 million for a field museum was expensive, when you get to the field museum, you'll realize they probably make that back in a month. She has her own. Usually the museum has a gift shop, but Sue has her own gift shop, okay, and is spectacular. But let's go back as to where Sue comes from, because there's a tale of woe here, and somebody's getting the shaft over this. In 1990, a gentleman named Peter Larson, along with his girlfriend, Sue Hendrickson, and some others, We're looking for fossils in South Dakota. Now, Mr. Larson owns and operates what is called the Black Hills Institute of Geological Research. It was founded in 1974. And it was a legal, commercial fossil finding and selling company. In other words, this group of people would go out, find fossils, keep them or catalog them, whatever else, and then sell them to museums or sell them to private collectors or sell them to anybody else. Now, there's a battle that is going on between archaeologists, museums, and collectors. You know, some people want to keep everything to themselves, even if they have 500 jars. Oh, we don't want to sell any of those. And they think it's not right for private individuals to have those items, because now they're not in their historical context and they just sit on a shelf, okay? I use that stuff in class all the time. The Field Museum in Chicago has a setup so that if you're teaching school in Chicago, they have a movable collection that somebody from the museum will bring actual artifacts to your classroom to show them. You know, we got to get them out of the museum and do some things. Anyway. What was going on? This guy's, you know, making money, finding fossils and selling them. And there's nothing wrong with selling fossils. It is not illegal to sell fossils, not from private land. It is illegal to sell it from a federal piece of property. Go to the petrified forest. Oh my God. You know, you cannot pick up any of these pieces and you're subject to a fine and you could be arrested. And there are people arrested for, and you shouldn't pick up stuff like that. But somehow or another they make it feel like, oh, you know, what are you doing with that giant bone? You can't have it. So it's a private land issue. Okay. Well, anyway, we go back to 1990. They're on the South Dakota Cheyenne Sioux Reservation, Mr. Larson and his group. And it's his girlfriend, Sue Hendrickson, who sees this rock with some strange look to it. And they go and go over there and realize it's a dinosaur. You can actually watch them. There's a documentary showing the excavation of this. And it was nice enough of Mr. Larson to nickname the T-Rex Sue. And I think she really is a female. They didn't know that at the time. Well, at any rate, they checked where the place is located. And the site was owned by a man named Maurice Williams. So they negotiated for Mr. Williams. They excavated. He gave them permission. They excavated for 17 days. As I said, they have videotape of the whole thing. And the end result is Mr. Williams received a check for $5,000. The bones were then taken to Hill City, South Dakota, which is their headquarters, this group that Larson's owned headquarters, where they were cleaning the bones, cataloging them, you know, cutting them out of the matrix to make copies. And then he started doing lecture circuits and articles and all sorts of other stuff. And tourists were coming by. And everything seemed to be going along just fine until 1992, when his facility is raided by the FBI, the National Guard, and a whole variety of other people. And they confiscated everything in the premises, including Sue. And then a year later, he's indicted on 39 felony charges, including stealing fossils from a federal land. Now, wait a minute here. He went to the owner of the land, Maurice Williams, got permission, and paid him. What Larson didn't know, and maybe Williams knew, but Williams' land wasn't actually his. Williams' land was actually placed in trust of the United States government. So, although he could grant permission to look on his land, he couldn't actually sell anything on that land, fossil-wise, unless the Department of Interior gave permission. So, obviously, that didn't take place. So, this in 1993, they filed these felony charges, and then Larson is put on trial. Just Larson, not Sue or anybody else. I think by that time they'd broken up, but I'm not sure on that. It was a 7-week trial, and the jurors took 2 weeks to deliberate on this thing. And in the end, they found him guilty of 2 felony charges. 2, okay? First charge he was found guilty of was coming back from a trip to Japan with $31,000 worth of traveler's checks, which he didn't report. We can understand how that might slip our attention, you know. And then the second felony charge was for bringing $15,000 in cash back from Peru. Well, you know how it is. You got to buy artifacts. You need cash. Now, not everybody on the black market will necessarily take MasterCard. He was then also found guilty of 2 misdemeanor charges. 1, illegally taking a fossil worth less than $100 from federal land, and then having possession of another fossil from federal land. He got 18 months in jail for this. The government then gave Sue back to Williams and suggested that he sell it at auction. Now, there's something wrong here, okay? So the government wasn't asked to give permission to sell the dinosaur, and Williams sells it, and the government then takes it back, knowing its value, knowing what it really is. And then they allow the man who shouldn't have been able to sell it the first, to sell it again. And actually, the government was the one that suggested it ought to be auctioned. Now, what would have been funny is if Larson had won the auction, because they were players in the auction. He had financial backers, and they went after this. It was really funny because there was a television news story on CBS News, and they went to Junction City, Kansas, where there is a really good T-Rex fossil that is there. It's not as complete as Sue, and they interviewed the guy there, and he said, "Yeah, you know, I hope the." They said, "Who do you think should have it?" He said, "Well, obviously it should go in the museum, but," he said, "from my standpoint, I'd love the Sultan of Brunei to get it." And they go, what? He said, no, there's a man who is one of the richest men in the world. I mean, he could buy that thing. He could pay, you know, I would guess $20 million for it. And then he could put it in his house. And he said, when that one's off the market, then you got to come to me because I've got the next best one. And he was saying, he said, look, you know, you're going to dig these dinosaur bones. You have to make some money out of it some way, shape, or form. And there are lots of fossils. But, you know, it's kind of hard. I mean, it's pretty difficult for me to put Sue in my living room. I'd be hard-pressed to put a velociraptor in there. But that was an interesting discussion. So there was a significant amount of battling for this. And the Sotheby's company went out of their way to try to make sure that a museum won it because they offered terms. If you were a private individual and you won Sue, you had to buy. You had to pay for it immediately. But if you were a museum, you could pay for it a little bit at a time without interest. Now that's saying something. They estimated it would go for $1 million, $2 million, and of course it went for 8.4. The discussion here is, as you can, there's a rat somewhere in the story about Larson, and there has been discussion that he was probably turned in by some academics who thought it should have been somewhere else. And there was a big debate in South Dakota when the auction took place because they thought it should stay in South Dakota. Now, I'm not sure who got the money because there's been some debate over the money issue still. They put her up for sale and sold it, and then the ironing out the money issue was supposed to take place after that. So I don't know whether Mr. Williams got all $8.4 million or what have you. Another time I'm going to do a podcast on the Svetnams, which are two people who brought the Sipan gold from Peru into the United States. And now they are smugglers and quote, art dealers / smugglers over on this issue. But they fell into a similar situation where who should have possession of this stuff. And so I hope you enjoyed that. And go to Chicago and see Sue. She's spectacular. Absolutely spectacular. So don't forget to come by Summa Historica. Thank you.